Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only weekly radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, sales, and customer relations. Nationwide advertisers spend more than $200 billion per year. How are you planning to spend your advertising dollars? Stay with us for 2 hours of entertaining marketing discussion and our featured guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Back with you on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. This is definitely a Labor Day kind of a weekend.
Uh-huh.
Man, oh man, you can, I don't know whether you can feel a change in the air. I can. It feels a little bit different than it used to be.
107, the oldies station, is having an end of summer weekend. I hope the weather knows that we're ending summer.
Yeah, right, end of summer.
I mean, Labor Day, I think traditionally people think it's the end of summer, but
Labor Day in the north, for crying out loud.
Right, right. Calendar down here. But, I mean, even in the calendar month, when does summer officially end?
What isn't it?
Is it late September?
Late September, yeah.
Yeah.
September,
okay.
Something. Yeah. Hey, the advertising show is being brought to you by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business, and by Zoito, the future of fulfillment. Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe back with you. Our guest today is an interesting guy. His name is Patrick Meyer. Really cool, cool operation. I mean, if I could have multiple offices, I might choose something in South Miami Beach. Mm-hmm. Let's see, where else is he? In L.A.? I think they've got an office there. The company's called Fusion 5. Yeah, Westport, Connecticut, and New York City.
Right.
All very cool places, and it definitely sets the attitude for what they do. Their company is...
Practical marketing advice and informative discussion. You're listening to The Advertising Show on Business Radio 650.
No one's gonna call you a Hollywood queen. They won't think you're a model in a magazine. But show them, baby, you rate. You're really in shape.
If you've got the average figure but don't want to look average, wear the Playtex Cross Your Heart bra with regular or fiber-filled lining. It crosses your heart with stretch to lift, separate, to give you a terrific shape.
Oh, you're really in shape.
Yeah, you're looking good today, Brad.
Well, you have an average figure. You could probably wear one of those. Yeah, I jumped on you there because I knew you were going to come after me. Lift and separate.
Lift and separate. Yeah. The segment of the advertising show is brought to you by WB39. Well, okay, we got Patrick Meyer coming on here in just a minute with the Fusion 5. Really neat company. I mean, if their company is... half as cool as their website is. Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. And hey, it appears that it is.
You know,
Texans.
Before we talk about the Texans, I went and made a copy of the count list for Fusion.
You better leave
Fusion
a quarter. Laura, yeah, people who work on the weekend, they use a copier. You have to, like, leave a quarter on the machine.
You know how when you lift
you got
up.
A quarter?
You know how when you lift up the top and you think, well, I'm going to slide this in and make a copy?
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody's left another copy in there.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to mention that be caller number 12 right now and qualify to win the trip for two to Phoenix to be our
secret
Toby Keith.
Toby Keith.
Who is he?
He's a country artist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that goes across the hall.
So anyway, yeah, so call over there.
Yeah. No, that's actually Kilt.
And when they, oh,
that's
it is Kilt.
Kilt. So
103.
That'd be down the hall.
That's right.
Hang a left at the bathroom.
Right. So anyway, be the 12th caller right now, and you could win a trip to Phoenix. Anyway, yeah, I wasn't at the game last night. We gave our tickets away to our associate
Laura
producers.
Was.
Yeah, Stephanie Saratelli and her mother went on our behalf because Laura and I had other things to do. But apparently, not only... Laura across the way here, Laura Veal,
yeah,
experienced the same thing that we did the week prior, being a Saturday night game, and that is traffic problemos out the yin yang.
Yeah, but it wasn't as bad, according to Laura. She said that for the benefit of the doubt, first of all, the Texans played a little bit better. They didn't lose as badly.
True.
And secondly, apparently there are shuttle buses now that will get you to the game. The only problem is the shuttle bus parking lots were full.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, what the heck are you going to do?
Well, last week.
What's that?
$4.
$4 to park for the shuttle bus.
But you get a hot dog with it.
I'm sure you don't.
No, you don't. Last week, we were going to the game, and Laura's real good about reading maps, my wife, and we're sitting in traffic, and we're trying to go straight away to get to the blue parking lot.
Yeah.
And I've got the little blue parking pass on my rearview mirror like they require you to do. And, of course, a deputy sheriff, female, I'm just throwing that in, says, hey, you need the blue space, parking space? I said, well, yeah. And she goes, you need to go this way. And I go, oh, really? And she goes, yeah. And I said, would you help me out and stop traffic? She goes, I've been doing this all day. So she stops traffic, allows me to pull on in, and I'm now sitting in line 10 minutes to get to the front of this area where you go into this new parking space. And this HPD cop says, you in for the blue space? And I go, yeah. He goes, you need to turn around and go back and continue straight. And I said, you got a deputy back there telling me to, he interrupts me, and he goes, she's been doing that all day. She's a bonehead. This is what he said. And so he stopped traffic, allowed me to turn back around, and we finally made it to the blue space. But we got a little view of the orange and yellow and other spaces on the way.
Hey, give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's colorblind.
Well, I'll tell you this. My wife kept saying, you know, as you whip by her, why don't you try to wing her a bit? You know,
no,
she was angry.
That would be a really good idea.
That would be a bad idea. I did give her your home phone number.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
And told her, just call me Ray.
Uh-huh. Okay. Patrick Meyer is co-founder and chief executive officer of Fusion 5. Patrick is clearly a marketing evolutionary behind major brand and new product initiatives at the Coca-Cola Company, Daimler Chrysler, Gatorade, Levi's, Gillette, Nike, Ford Motor Company, P&G, that's Procter & Gamble, and beyond, wonder what that is, has combined a senior brand marketing background with leadership thinking coming out of the marketing core of America to create Fusion 5, the number 5. Over the last 8 years, he has led Fusion 5 in its relentless focus on aggressive brand business growth through innovation out of insight. He now leads North American and global efforts for Fusion 5 across 8 offices and 600 people worldwide. So we're really happy to have Patrick on the show today. Patrick, thanks for joining us today. You're in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, where you are going to give a weather forecast for me. And do we have him? Oh, we'll get him back on. Hang on just a minute. Okay, we'll do it this way. How about that? Patrick, hello there.
I'm here.
There you go. Thanks for joining us today. So the weather forecast for the Berkshires today is what?
It looks like it's about ready to rain. It's cloudy, and it's about 80 degrees.
Okay.
So it's a three-day weekend.
How's traffic? Yeah. Might as well do a traffic report, too.
Sure.
And gentlemen, I need to tell you that I thought your lead-in was great on Cadbury. And the Cadbury ad?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But here's a question to ask.
Sure.
You know, all those politicians running around India with their arms up in the air screaming about the ad being inappropriate, if the target audience was, let's say, young adult or whatever, and they hit the right chord, they're a little bit irreverent, you could all of a sudden drive the business and have a lot of people upset in the Capitol and yet be very successful.
Well, yeah.
Getting talk value could be a really good thing.
Well, it even adds to your exposure, certainly. And you know,
you mean like Samuel Adams?
Yeah,
talk about bad PR and a deal there. He went online to apologize for the Opie and Anthony, who are the new morning show here on Business Radio 650 now, shenanigans.
Yeah.
And then with some of the breweries, not the breweries, but the bars in Boston said, no, we're not putting Sam Adams back on the shelf until he apologizes in print. So he did.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like with clients, Patrick, and you know this, if a client, let's say, is 50 years old and you know, they're usually very wealthy and live in a different world than consumers, if they ever say, well, you know, I really can't relate to what you've created here, it's like, I'm not going after you, damn it. You know, this is you got to constantly remind, at least we've found here on a local level, that you have to constantly remind clients, let's get objective about this and let's look at things from the perspective of consumer connection, which really, you know, ties in a lot with what you guys do. Let's jump into, since you mentioned an ad campaign, before we get into some specifics about what Fusion 5 does, let's just talk in a general sense. For example, you mentioned an ad campaign. What's wrong with thinking an ad campaign can turn around a business?
Well, I get 2 points to make. One is, I'll answer your question, but the point you just made about reminding the executive that's making X million dollars a year who's over 50, I'll just give you a good example. We have a process we call immersion. Every project we do, we always start with an immersion. Now, that's us and the client diving deep into the consumer's world, deep in their DNA. So that's living where they are and filming their closets and going to VIP rooms of the right clubs, depending on who the brand is, who the target is, and what the brand is.
Huh.
But we did something for the Ford Motor Company a number of years back, and as we came back after doing insight and futuring work on where were millennials going to be, or the echo boomers, and we presented all the way up the line, we suggested that we take Ford senior management, that was Jack Nasser at the time, mm-hmm. that we take them on an immersion. So we took the top 50 presidents and GMs and Jack Nasser into Miami, where we had 65 young adults, you know, 16 to 18. They went on shopping sprees with the executives and took them places in their world that they would normally not go, because their kids are much more privileged, living in big houses in the Detroit suburbs.
Sure.
And what was pretty wild is that you've got Jack Nasser sitting at Johnny Rockets eating hot dogs with teens telling him that his trucks are great, but his cars suck.
Really?
With his bodyguard standing behind him right on the street in Miami.
Hmm.
So you can change the next day when we did a download on what did they see. It completely changed their perspective on young adults and how to think about them.
Was that the work you did for Ford Focus?
That actually led to Ford Focus, because that was the insight and futuring work that was set up for the next 10 years. And then Nasser said to us, what you're telling us is that a network TV campaign and a print campaign and car shows isn't going to cut it with the kids we were just with.
Mm-hmm.
We said, absolutely. And then the Ford Focus came out of that, and we then launched it a whole different way.
How did you recruit those kids?
Well, we go after what we call key influencers. So you're looking for the person that's an early adopter, somebody who's got a very distinct point of view, probably leads his peers or her peers by 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll use hip, cool people like a DJ, mm-hmm. a fashion label designer, and we'll use them to recruit the younger target. And that we also have a battery of questions that get to how do they think and how do they feel. And if they are a key influencer, then we want them in our research or our DNA work.
Do you compensate these people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you get the right people, they're jazzed just to be doing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, because you ask them to film their world. You ask them to create a montage of what their world looks like out of magazine clippings and stuff, or create a diary, or film their friends on... Then they come in and they sit in a VIP room of a club, if they're over 21, or in a coffee house with a cool DJ who is part of our team, and we talk about what's going on in their world. Well, they open up their chest cavity and things come out you would never get in a focus group facility.
Sure.
With average people.
Right.
Then if you pay them $50 or $75... That's a bonus.
Well, I'm not a big fan of focus groups for a lot of different reasons, but what you're doing there with your immersions, it's definitely getting, I think, some real world view of what's happening in these people's lives from a lifestyle standpoint. Certainly good product feedback as well, and how that matches up with how these people live their lives.
Focus groups, how many of them have the three of us been in? When you walk out of them, you say, wow. Homogenized, pasteurized mm-hmm. content.
Right. Yeah.
Average people with a moderator who's not in touch with no stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the same thing you did the week before, but in a different category.
Well, yeah. 20 years ago when it was more popular, I found myself sitting behind the double glass mirror where you're observing this. And the problem I had immediately in my first observation of a focus group was there tends to be, let's say there's 10 people sitting around a table with one moderator. There's typically one or two people within that group that are highly opinionated and are very quick to voice their opinions and end up swaying other people that are a little shy or neutral. And what are you getting? You're really getting...
Well, it's peer pressure.
Well, you're getting what you think is a group opinion when really it's an opinion of a few that influence the opinions of others. Do you agree with that, Patrick?
Oh, that's you're completely correct on that.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about what's wrong with thinking an ad campaign can totally correct a business when they're having growth problems, and we're going to do that after the break, Patrick.
Okay.
It's The Advertising Show, Business Radio 650, as we stream it live on the web at theadvertisingshow.com. Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth, and our special guest is Patrick Meyer, who is president of Fusion 5. We'll be back.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth are talking to you about marketing strategies. You're listening to The Advertising Show on Business Radio 650.
That's what the guys on the team gave me. King of the beer frame. Well, I may not be the best at picking spears, but when it comes to picking beers, I'll pick a kingpin every time. Budweiser is the king of beers, but you know that.
And he's the king of the beer guys.
Ed?
Yeah. Back on the advertising show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today is Patrick Meyer, who is president of Fusion 5. Want to find out more about Fusion 5? You can go online at fusion5.com. No. There we go. Patrick, it's good to have you with us here. You were asking a question.
Yeah, before the break, Patrick, I think a lot of companies believe that an ad campaign can turn around a business, and what's wrong with that thinking?
Well, this may be heresy to a lot of people, although there is kind of an emerging new guard of marketers that are out there in the last couple of years who will get this, and they'll nod their heads on when an ad campaign is being presented and Madison Avenue, big agency, is touting the benefits of what it will do and how it will turn the business around. It's so flawed in its thinking. It's such an outdated construct that may have worked 20 years ago. It's certainly not working today with an economic downturn and post 911 and media fragmentation, et cetera. Let me give you an example. I was sitting in an adult beverage company boardroom. And we were just coming in to help turn around the business. And the ad agency's in, and of course they've got another ad campaign, and they're pitching that, hey, we can turn the business around with this ad campaign. So the CMO turns to me and he says, Patrick, what do you think? And I said, well, you need to go back to the fact that you've had four ad campaigns in the last 4 years, and the business hasn't changed. Uh-huh. What you're missing is a core marketing strategy and a core marketing idea that drives through probably 12 different marketing components and captures the consumer's heart and drives them right into retail. Uh-huh. And he said, well, how would you get there? We need to get out quick with this ad campaign. I said, it's a very simple process. We call it the I-5 process. We use this with all of our clients. You start with immersion. Then you focus on the second I, which is insight, followed by innovative strategies and ideas that come out of those insights. Fourth I is inspiration. You need to line up everybody in the organization so they get your strategy, all the way down to retail, all the way out to the agency, et cetera. And the last is impact, right? So what you're trying to do in that process is find the core marketing idea. That's not a tagline, mm-hmm. but a core marketing idea right. that an agency can then work with and they can develop a new campaign. But then everything else at retail and internet, your product development and what you're doing promotionally and CRM and internet and PR and publicity and on and on, all comes out of a singular idea.
How difficult is it for a CEO or a CMO to understand that maybe the fact that you've had four different campaigns in the past 4 years might also be part of the problem?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Because what they did was they bought off on the construct that ad campaign will turn it around. It's interesting that usually senior management, particularly if they're not out of marketing, will kind of default the responsibility either to the head of the agency that's on that account, depending on how high up the relationship is, and or to the CMO. So a lot of times everybody will say, well, we need a new ad campaign. Well, in actuality, you need to do some pretty sound insight work quickly, revamp your strategy, understand what's going on competitively, and come out with the right innovative, insight-driven marketing thinking, of which marketing leads into the advertising piece.
When did agencies, you believe, give up the marketing component of a client's overall marketing communications effort, or did they ever have that to begin with?
You just hit a really important question. There was a session that was called the Ad Forum that took place about a month or two ago, and Steve Heyer, one of our clients at the Coca-Cola Company, very senior, made the point over a luncheon speech that the agencies defaulted on the opportunity to help lead the strategic thinking, that they gave that up a number of years back. And I think what happened was at some point the agency got so enamored, agencies, the big ones, medium-sized ones, with the marketing, the core creative idea as the driver. And over time you saw other forms of agencies sprouting. You saw new media agencies sprouting. You saw boutiques. Even regional agencies are quite different than a lot of the Madison Avenue agencies because you got to be scrappier. If you're in Houston working on advertising, you're also doing PR and you're also doing promotion and radio merchandising. But if you're in Madison Avenue, you're kind of out of touch.
Right.
So I think they defaulted probably 5 to 10 years back.
Mm-hmm.
The consulting firms, particularly New Age consulting like Fusion 5, we're in there. We're trying to find you growth in your brand. next month, and we're scrappy, and we're trying to make that happen. And it's just a different way of thinking.
Hey, Patrick, do you know who Bob Garfield is at age? Okay. Bob is usually slamming ads. He doesn't have really good things to say about advertising.
Well, he's not supposed to.
Usually,
right?
Yeah, but usually he doesn't. But he does now, okay? This is the amazing Coca-Cola. It says, amazing. Coca-Cola produces excellent spots. The spot is not going to be a cans winner or anything else, gold winner. It will very likely, however, be a sales winner, which is what I always, you know, strategize.
Sure.
For, you know,
sure.
So you win an award. Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
How about the client? How about some success with the client? Because it does something that almost no soft drink advertising ever bothers to do. It makes you thirsty for the product. It makes Coca-Cola look delicious, refreshing, contemporary, classic, and actually beautiful. Yeah, it says it's just cola, but here it looks like the elixir of life, or anyway, the elixir of sweet refreshment. So he had some high praise for the latest spots for Coca-Cola.
Would that suggest, Patrick, that Coca-Cola found a core connection with their consumer that's embedded in that campaign?
Oh, absolutely. I think that Coke is back on the move again. Steve Heyer, also Chris Lowe, who's head of marketing, and they got some really young progressive thinking going on there. What they've done is they've locked in on the fundamentals, and they're leading again, leadership thinking. You had that with Sergio Zeman a number of years back. I was at Coke from 80 to 87, and my boss recruited me to come down with Sergio. And he focused us on innovative, progressive thinking in marketing and thinking like a leader. And that's always been Coke's hallmark.
Uh-huh.
Now you've got the Coke team bringing that back, but also building the business. You know, focused on how do you drive volume.
Is Sergio as hip and cool as he looks like in his ads that he does for his company?
Yeah, he's quite a character. He's quite a character.
You know,
we periodically work with Sergio, bring him in as a trained brain on some of the summits we do, and you know, he brings an energy and a brand thinking that that's really refreshing.
He obviously knows how to brand himself because he's done a great job with that.
If you can't market yourself, if at Fusion 5, we always say, and our clients tell us this, that you do such a great job of marketing yourself, at least understanding your brand, not being overly promotional, but understanding your brand essence. Well, if you can't do that for your own company, how are you going to do that for Jeep,
right,
Chrysler, or Coke, or Timberland?
Right. You know, in the short 4 minutes we have before we have the news at the top of the hour, let's talk real quickly about episodic marketing, which is one of your core product offerings with Fusion 5. What is it, and how does one go about utilizing an episodic marketing approach to their branding?
Well, it's a pretty simple idea, and it goes back to, we like to draw a comparison, let's say, between a movie that comes out, let's say a movie like Titanic when it came out. It comes out, it's a short blip on the radar screen for 4 weeks, and then it's gone. Well, that's kind of how most marketing efforts are.
Mm-hmm.
They come out, they have X amount of spending for 3 or 4 months, all the media goes away, and everybody looks at it and says, well, we don't have any money to spend until, you know, beginning of next fiscal. And, of course, nothing's going on volume-wise. And that's kind of the one-hit wonder approach. What we do is we kind of follow Sex and the City, which is set up episodes underneath a core marketing idea. So let's say over an 18-month period, you're going to have 6 to 8 major episodes. Each one of them in themselves is incredibly stirring and intriguing. That captures the population or your target. It has them talking about you. And it's not just an ad campaign episode. It's taking the core marketing idea and creating a really compelling idea out of that, and then driving through traditional and non-traditional elements.
What would be some examples of those elements that you're describing?
Oh, it would be things like you would do the traditional, like let's say it's network TV or it might be print, but do it with innovation.
Mm-hmm.
So do less better and have people tearing out your insert in a certain magazine and passing it on to their friends and say, wow, look at this, look what my brand did. Or non-traditional things like buzz marketing and viral marketing, or what we call offensive PR. Publicity with a publicist that's spinning it out, so all of a sudden you're reading about it in USA Today or hearing about it on your show.
Mm-hmm. Do you integrate special events and internet and elements like that?
Oh, all those elements, but once again, breaking the rules with them.
Right.
Once it becomes wallpaper, we say to clients, if they can't talk about it, don't do it. Don't waste your time if it's wallpaper.
So it's not just it's just not enough, as maybe many marketing companies may integrate advertising, promotion, events, retail, internet, PR, et cetera. But what I hear you saying is it's a matter of being multifaceted in your approach, but doing it in a breakthrough way in each particular category.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it.
We're going to have a short time here before we break.
Less than a minute now, as a matter of fact. Patrick Myers, our special guest, president of Fusion 5, on the phone with us today from the Berkshires in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
A long Labor Day holiday weekend. Has it started raining yet, Patrick?
No, but it's gray.
Okay,
good. I think room service just got there.
There we go. Yeah, I'll take a Sam Adams, okay?
One of those margaritas you talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah, there you go. The Advertising Show is brought to you by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business, and by Zoito, the future of fulfillment. I want to find out more about this F5 Florida house. It's a blended concoction. Boy, that sounds like a drink, doesn't it? A blended concoction of insight, innovation, ideation, and fun. Sounds like the signs that we have at our offices. You know, innovation,
right.
All that kind of stuff.
Right.
And fun. I like that. Stay with us. The Advertising Show is online globally at theadvertisingshow.com. And here on Business Radio 650. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Advertising Show, America's only weekly radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, sales, and customer relations. Once again, your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Glad to be back with you as we stream live online at theadvertisingshow.com, Business Radio 650 in Houston. Zoito, the future of fulfillment, The Advertising Show is being brought to you by and by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business. Before we get back to our interview with Patrick Meyer, president of Fusion 5, I want to remind you the views and opinions expressed by the host and the guest of The Advertising Show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers on Business Radio 650. Maybe Laura just a little bit. I don't know.
Laura Veal in the other room?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thumbs up on that one. Okay, good.
But what's that middle finger mean?
Oh, stop that.
Thumbs up?
No, it's a thumbs up.
Oh.
That's the end finger, okay?
I got you.
Patrick, it's good to have you with us today, and thanks for taking time out of your Labor Day holiday weekend.
Well,
so how come you're not... Well, first of all, I was in Miami, Fort Lauderdale for years with a radio station there.
Is it still on the air?
Well, it's now a Hispanic station. It is, it was 107. I don't know what 107 is or 106.9, but it's some Hispanic station now. It's great, great radio market, though. Mm-hmm. A lot of good radio stations down there. But I fly, and I used to buzz the islands and stuff, you know, all the way from Key Biscayne all the way down to, all the way down to Key West and Marathon and such. But where is Fisher Island? Whereabouts? Is that like right off Miami Beach or something?
It is. It's right between Key Biscayne, South Beach, and Miami.
Okay. Okay.
The Vanderbilt Mansion, I think, from the 1920s, was there, and it's turned into a pretty exclusive and fun resort.
Yeah.
And, I guess you saw it on our website.
Right.
Because we started the company 8 years ago. We believe that part of the equation to doing great marketing thinking, after, you know, having consumer insight and great energy and a process, et cetera, is that you have to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't rocket science that we're doing here. And that if you put people in the right environment, let's say it's a think tank in an unusual location with great moderator and unusual exercises and different stimulus, what comes out of that think tank is a lot different than the same people sitting in a conference room in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
So we purposely take our clients on immersions, and the next day we follow with a fusionation session. Well, we use South Beach and also Little Havana and Miami for immersions. Then the next day we do think tanks on Fisher Island, and clients love it, but at the same time it's got a business focus to it.
Is the building that we see on your website, are there offices within? Do you own the entire building, or what do we see there?
Yeah, we have a facility there, home, and also the conference facility is what we use there.
And if you look real close, Ray, right there by the pool, you can see Patrick behind that palm tree.
He's in the back of the boat.
Yeah.
Nice boat.
So when you're having these sessions, Patrick, do you have an individual there assigned to take notes? Do you record? Do you video? What do you do with those?
Usually our process is that the night before you do the immersion, right, and you videotape that, and you also have consumers and lifestyle experts. So you completely open up your client and your staff mind, participants and the agency, you know, as part of it. And then the next day you come in to into the session, we use 3M post-it notes. You build stuff, and then we'll actually have video segments that we'll share of the consumer talking from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stimulus to open you up. You know, when you're in a think tank, the first 2 hours, you're with it. And then after a while, you start to run out of stuff that's on the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and stretch it out with more stimulus.
So how do you go about compiling all of your findings? And I assume you put it in some kind of print form, and then it's distributed to your clients, et cetera, as well as your side of the
right.
staff?
Well, you know, if you think about it, if you're a client, you've got a pile of stuff on your desk you can't even read.
Mm-hmm.
That you never get to. So what we do is you want to go out, be with the consumer, this key influencer consumer, get in their DNA, film them, bring back diaries of their world and other stuff, then synthesize it down, mm-hmm. bring it in. Don't do it in a PowerPoint presentation like
right.
that, but to serve it up in a way that they can get passionate about the findings, the implications are there, and it inspires the whole organization. So that can be video.
Mm-hmm.
That can be giant walls that go up in the client's office that have got the complete montage of consumer stuff they've done. So that's what we do.
And then I assume if it's in print, you've got it synthesized down to what really your key findings, I would think.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this a long-term relationship that you do, or is this just a particular session that you provide for your clients?
No, you know, there are a lot of companies that do one-day think tanks, and we don't find that there's really any value to the client or us to just do that. If you've got a longer-term relationship and you're focused on how do you drive the president of the GM's business, You're gonna have a longer term relationship. You're gonna have initiatives to build the business, and so this happens to be one of 10 steps in a 3 month.
Right. I'm sorry, we were cutting out here at this end. And in case you're just joining us, Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5, some of the clients that they represent: Daimler Chrysler, Coca-Cola, Bath and Body Works, Bank of America, Diego, HBO, VH1, Levi's, Timberland, and yes, Ray, your favorite,
yeah.
Pizza Hut. We've reported frequently here on the advertising show about covert product placements. I personally have coined the term reality placements. It's not getting anywhere, but Ray likes it. Anyway, for those that may not be familiar with this, a company, for example, hired actors to pose as tourists in New York City, asking passerbys to take their picture, and obviously what the client's getting at that point is an instant product demo by the people being asked to take the picture. I think it was on a cell phone that also
right.
takes pictures, as I
yeah.
recall. We've also read and heard about female models hired to go into hip and cool bars and ask men that are willing to buy them a drink. I don't want just a drink. I want this particular brand of vodka, whatever the case may be. And, of course, more recently, Ray, we've read here on the show about how Lauren Bacall and Kathleen Turner, for example, have appeared on some of the morning, as they call it in England, the breakfast shows,
yeah.
of course, Today Show, et cetera. And they're discussing and praising prescription drugs without disclosing that they've been paid by drug companies to do so. Patrick, does the companies that do this type of covert product placement really risk the potential of a backlash from a consumer standpoint when they find out that they've been, taken a little bit by this approach?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you have to have a good sense of what would work and not work with the consumer. And you got to be talking to your consumer constantly. And the consumer wants to be intrigued. They want to discover it. Word of mouth is very effective, but there's a place where you can step over the line.
Mm-hmm.
The consumer is pretty savvy, much savvier than they might have been 10 or 15 years ago, because they've grown up with media all around them. So you got to pick and choose what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But an interesting thing that we've seen in the last probably 5 years, we cut our teeth when we first started on liquor, beer, and at one point a controversial category, tobacco. But what we found were those were brands that were built on badge value, and word of mouth was important. Now, we don't have a tobacco client now, but what we learned back then was how to drive buzz,
uh-huh.
but to do it in your whole marketing plan. About 2-3 years ago, when the tipping point came out, we sent
right.
it out to our clients, and everybody started to get jazzed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens, mainstream, all marketers will call us and say, hey, we want to have a buzz plan. we can do a buzz plan for you. But what we keep explaining to clients is that the way to think is that your entire marketing plan should be a buzz plan.
Right.
Every element is capable of generating buzz if it's done in a very innovative, creative way.
There goes a client wanting to shop a la carte again rather than integrating a complete system.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, it's a higher bar. If you tell your client the whole marketing plan has to be a buzz plan, and if they can't talk about it, let's not waste their time. That's tough for both Fusion 5, the agency, and the client.
Sure.
But that's how you turn a business around.
Rolling Stone magazine is now going to be turning 35. 35. Mm-hmm. It seems kind of young, doesn't it, for that magazine? But the question that we'll ask you here in just a minute talks about long-term branding and a long-term image, too. And that would seem to me to be something you would have a long-term relationship with your clients, too. The things that were okay yesterday do not necessarily reflect today or possibly tomorrow. We'll talk with Patrick Meyer here, ask him that question. Here on Business Radio 650, it's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. This segment of the Advertising Show is being brought to you by Charles P. Young. It's theadvertisingshow.com, and let's see, who do we have? Andy Borowitz coming up here.
That is
the
correct.
World of Andy Borowitz.
Yep.
Stay with us.
Keeping your finger on the pulse of the markets, Business Radio 650.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now here's this week's breaking news from the Borowitz Report.
In a phenomenon that occurs every year, the week before Labor Day, national columnists across America file pointless, content-free filler columns, enabling the lazy scribes to hit the beach early, according to observers who have been following this trend. The filler columns are churned out in a matter of minutes, with no loftier goal than meeting a deadline and filling up space, meaning the columnist will often resort to using the same words or phrase again and again and again and again and again. And rather than doing any original writing, those columnists will rely on so-called experts to supply them with quotes to fill up space, experts say. They'll often quote people you've never heard of, said Harold Crimmins, an expert in the field of filler columns. It's pretty shameless. The typical filler column is often a reprint of a previously published column, but the writer will later plug in one cursory reference to current events, such as the Martha Stewart insider trading scandal, to disguise that fact. And in order to fill up space even faster, Crimmins says, the lazy beachbound columnist will compose his summer filler columns with short paragraphs. Many of these paragraphs will be as short as one sentence, he says, or shorter, he adds. There are other telltale signs a reader can look for in order to determine whether a writer has, in fact, filed a so-called filler column, according to Crimmins. One of these is a tendency to repeat information that the reader has already read earlier in the article, with columnist even stopping to use the same quote twice. Another tip-off is the column ends abruptly. This week, Andy Borowitz reveals what he didn't do this summer on National Public Radio's Weekend Edition Sunday. Check your local listings.
This has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more from me, Andy Borowitz, or to receive daily email alerts, log on to BorowitzReport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, no news is good news, but fake news is better.
To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show on Business Radio 650.
We here at the ad agency feel this commercial is provocative, motivating, and really classaroo. Now, what do you think, sir?
Only one shoe? Porsche makes over 256 different styles. Show them all! Big, big! What about the craftsmanship? Even our laces are better.
Have lace shoes?
Oh, why don't we show a huge centipede wearing all the floor shot shoes?
I like that. That could be amusing. Shaboom, shaboom.
Hey, I like that.
Well, you might think, gee, is that a Fusion 5 session?
That's immersion.
Is that the immersion? That's confusion. That's an old Florsheim shoe spot.
Yeah.
This is interesting. The Rolling Stone, by the way, we're talking with Patrick Meyer, president of Fusion 5. He is vacationing in Massachusetts in the Berkshires this weekend. Good place to be. Rolling Stone magazine turning 35 in November. Maybe there's a generational change. Maybe there's a larger significance. He concedes, he being the publisher of Rolling Stone, who is now 56. But Rolling Stone has got to be as relevant today as it was 25 or 30 years ago. And the fact that pop culture is different and more commercial, there's more media today. It's not my fault, the guy says. So he'd be a good client for you guys, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely. We would have a field day.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone, you look at it, just it aged with the boomers and with Jan Wenner.
Uh-huh.
And when you talk to a 16-year-old, they're not reading Rolling Stone. They may look at it periodically, but they've got other much hipper, cooler publications that fit their whole world.
Uh-huh. Could it be that Rolling Stone has just basically lived its life like some things do, and it's time for it to kind of go away? Their sales are down 15.6% the first half of this year, and sales, while flat through July, suffered sizable declines in 2000 and 2001.
Well, they lost the Easy Wider account.
But the problem is that organizationally, between people they may have on staff, some of their advertisers and maybe their agencies are so ingrained in the way the brand has been, it's hard for them to get out of the boat and look at it objectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, in that situation, we would focus on five things. We'd say, let's look at the five drivers for your business. We actually have a practice area around each one. The first one would be brand revitalization. Is your brand relevant? What is its positioning? How does it fit in a portfolio? How do you reconnect it? Because the consumer is amazingly forgiving,
mm-hmm.
right? You can come back and touch the consumer, and they'll get it. But you just got to have the backbone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one that we focus on is generational connection. Very appropriate here with Rolling Stone. Generational connection is throwing open the front door to a whole new generation, millennials, echo boomers, even emerging target of women. You know, women from 55 down to 12 are a neglected target that most marketers overlook and assume that marketing to male and female is fine. So how do you connect to a new generation for new sources of growth? The third area we focus on is all about NPD Express, New Product Express. As you two probably know, companies take them too long to develop new products or line extensions or new services,
mm-hmm.
and yet the consumer is accelerating in their world.
Right.
So how do you develop new products for growth? The next area for Rolling Stone would be what we call channel reinvention. Are there new places, new ways to touch the consumer with Rolling Stone? And in the last area, which is kind of a scenario and long-term growth planning, is how do you set up the future 5 years out? Look out in the future, macro trends, and then bring them back to now to find new revenue streams.
And that last category, I guess, also comes back to your new product
exactly.
development. You talk about generational connection. A good example, I think, of that is Cadillac a few years ago that tried to skew younger and appeal to a younger market, and they failed miserably. And my guess is that the designers and engineers were not did not have the guidance of a company like your own, and they, you know, it's not enough, and I think it's a real good example, it's not enough to just target a particular market and say we're going to change our brand image and therefore change our target and appeal to a younger market by putting a young person in a vehicle. It really has to have the appeal of the youth designed and engineered into the product. But yet you look today, Patrick, and you see, staying with the Cadillac example, or I think Lincoln is doing also a good job. Mitsubishi has taken a not-so-hip car and made it hip and cool again with a wonderful campaign. But I think these are examples of campaigns that go far beyond just the campaign itself. That there's some brand connection, some consumer connection, and there's some engineering that's going into the actual end product.
I think you make a very good point. You have to start with the product and how does it connect to their heart and their head. One of our clients, Daimler Chrysler, with Jeep, with Chrysler, and with Dodge, is doing a really good job in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they've done is they've focused on the product experience, gear it to them. So if you take the Dodge Ram down in your part of the world, a new Dodge Ram that's all about power, testosterone, appropriate for the target of 21 to 49,
mm-hmm.
that's the first part. But you also have to connect to their heart. So linking with NASCAR and with rodeo and being truly part of all of that and winning on the track and then giving them a product at the right price in the right retail environment, and putting the right buzz and image around it, all of a sudden it starts to go. So, you know, Chrysler, Daimler Chrysler is doing a good job of that because it's the totality. And it's also, you have to inspire the organization. You have to get dealers rallied behind it. You can't just change an ad and hope it works. It's a holistic change.
Well, Ray's Dodge Ram, he has those horns on the front, which are difficult to avoid when he's right behind you.
I'm talking about the Ford Exploder, as you want.
You do have the Ford Exploder, of course, which Nasser took the hit on that whole problem, which we you mentioned Nasser earlier. Let's jump into some of the market.
You may want to get the Lone Star edition of the Ram. It's on fire in Texas right now.
Really?
Is that right?
There's also a...
He doesn't mean literally, by the way.
No. There's also, Ford Motor has the Harley Davidson of F-150 or F-250 or something, which is a really cool truck.
No kidding. Yeah. The admittedly, Ford is playing catch up with GM right now. GM's done a very good job, and Ford, with Bill Ford as the spokesperson, are playing some role in their advertising. Frankly, I don't know about you, Patrick, but when I see Bill Ford on the TV spots, it doesn't really, I think, give any consumer connection, because most consumers that buy Fords are not sitting there going, oh yeah, I schmooze with Bill Ford. He's like me and everybody else, right? No, wrong. I think Bill Ford comes off okay in the TV spots, but I don't know that, unlike the gentleman of years ago with Chrysler, Lee Iacocca. Now, there's a guy that's obviously wealthy and successful, but yet he was able to make a personal connection with the consumer because of his on-air persona, and I don't see that with Bill Ford. Do you?
Well, I give Ford credit for at least trying different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that they're trying with Bill, they're trying new things, they're doing things product-wise. The place that I find intriguing and a little bit disheartening is GM with its 0% and all-cash incentives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think long-term, that's going to hurt the category, because consumers buy off on what I call the American dream machine. They love their cars and their trucks. If it always comes down to just cash and 0%, as GM is doing it across their entire set of divisions, long-term, I don't think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you look at some of the imports right now, particularly the Japanese, they're not discounting. They've got great quality.
Right.
They don't have flashy cars,
right,
but they've got quality. You take a Chrysler, which has built in through as part of Daimler, Chrysler is bringing back a whole new kind of quality. Then you can combine it with sexy cars,
well,
have some level of incentives,
well,
but not give away the store.
Since we're talking automotive, Fusion 5 has a program called Marketing Catapults, where you identify such elements such as how to create brand buzz, strategic growth initiatives, growth through connectivity, and others. The one in particular that got my attention was the reinvention of retail. How does one go about reinventing retail, since we're talking about automotive?
Well, I think if you walk into, it doesn't matter any channel, it could be a convenience store, a 7-Eleven, it could be a McDonald's or a Burger King, or it could be automotive retail. The problem is that a lot of marketers focus on that as the last piece. In other words, we got to have the ads, we got to work on our product, we got to make things all beautiful and sexy, and oh, by the way, let's do some point of sale and put it down at retail and hand it to our trade marketing or our salespeople. And we like to flip it the other way, which is it starts with obviously your product, you know, but point of transaction, turn that into point of experience. How do you surprise and delight the consumer at retail?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a lot of times they don't see your print ad, but they walk into that 7-Eleven, they see that cooler door, and that's the one impression you can make between your package and your retail experience.
Hmm.
So the way we do that is you start with consumer immersions, same process, climb in their world, go with them, film them, watch them and how they buy, and also customer insights. You know, you can talk to a lot of store managers, a lot of people stocking shelves, and get a good sense of what's going on. So start with those insights, and then, same thing, focus on innovative ideas that can change how you touch somebody at retail. And then that's how we do it. We've done this for the Coca-Cola Company in the convenience and petroleum channels. And there's a lot of what you see out there now. We're Coke in the fountain area. You walk in, and it's a food court. and a whole new presence is emerging for Coke in Fountain.
That's great, great insight. By the way, Rhett Spiros was my initial contact with your company when we worked on getting you set up, and I wanted to let you know, Patrick, he said not to mention it on the air, but if he doesn't get that raise he's been working on the next week, he's history. Just FYI.
There you go. The Advertising Show, our special guest today, we're going to hold Patrick over for just a little while longer. Patrick Meyer is the president of Fusion 5 on vacation in the Northeast today, kind of a gray day in the Massachusetts area. Anyway, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The segment of the Advertising Show is brought to you by the Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation as we stream live on the web at theadvertisingshow.com and, of course, here in Houston on Business Radio 650. There's more to come. Stay with us on the Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on Business Radio 650.
Oh, he was really funny tonight, wasn't he? Coffee?
That's another funny joke.
Oh, Mrs. Olson, I just can't make good coffee.
Judy, good coffee is no problem with Folgers.
Folgers?
Folgers is mountain grown, the richest kind. You try it.
This coffee's great. What'd you do?
I finally found the right coffee. Folgers.
Try Folgers. Mountain grown for better flavor.
Yes, thank you.
Could never understand where Mrs.
Olson.
Where was she from, anyway? Serbia?
Norway?
Norway.
Minnesota?
You know, she got together with Juan Valdez, and they have a little kid now.
Yeah, Olson Valdez?
No, he's opened all these Starbucks.
The Olson Twins. Oh, I see. Very good. Patrick Meyer is our special guest. Patrick is president of Fusion 5 out of Westport, Connecticut and New York City. And, of course, down in South Miami Beach. What a great place to be. That's a lovely area. So we talked about Madison Avenue before, but how does a company like Fusion 5 integrate into the marketing and agency world?
Good question. When we formed Fusion 5 in 1994, we had a dream of building a marketing dream team, not a team of traditional consultants that are just producing giant presentation decks. And we said, how do you get the young and the best and the brightest in marketing to come up with insightful, innovative ideas, build a company with a very different culture? And we did that over the last 7-8 years, and the company's been successful, knock on wood. And we're kind of revolutionaries, and our clients love that. About 2 years ago, we were purchased by a company called Tempest out of London, top worldwide marketing consulting and market research company, and linked up with them, and then that was great. That then allowed Fusion 5 to expand into offices all around the world, particularly important for our insight work and our working on big clients like Coke and like Daimler Chrysler. About November, we were purchased. Tempest was bought by WPP, which is Sir Martin Sorrell's company. And here's a really interesting insight. You know, there are a lot of people who say, wow, the behemoth of marketing is, or advertising is WPP.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found very intriguing is that WPP is on the move, and Martin gets the fact that if you drive the client's brand growth, that's good for your business. So as a Fusion 5 coming into it, you know, a little revolutionary company, WPP embraced us and realized our proposition of aggressively driving brand and business growth today and tomorrow, no one else is doing that. Right? So they'll take us and team us with an Ogilvy, which is one of those agencies that gets the 360 approach that's really progressive. And a Fusion 5 and an Ogilvy working on a Sprite, for example, is a whole different offering that you find from Madison Avenue. So for us, the agency relationship's important as long as the client's laying down the ground rules that, you know, we're going to drive the brand, we're going to do it with insight-driven marketing solutions, and that advertising is part of it. So it's important that you're lining up your resources to work in tandem behind marketing thinking, not advertising-only thinking.
Since you brought it up, does WPP have a financial interest in your firm?
They own us now.
Oh, wholly owned.
Yeah.
Wholly
owned. Which is actually a really good thing. It's that our people love the fact that we can be a small to medium-sized company but have the resources of WPP and let us do great work.
And when did they acquire you?
November.
Yeah, and that's why you're full-time at the Berkshires now, huh? For those that may not know, part of the connection up with you, Patrick, was a Advertising Age Viewpoint letter that you wrote back in July 15th. They Ad Age create headlines for letters, and yours was headlined, "New Guard Shaking Up Marketing Sacred Cows." And you mentioned in the letter that you wrote that you have 10 brand growth demandments, you meaning Fusion 5. And, you know, I want to briefly touch on a few of these, but there's one in particular I want to zero in on, and that's number 10, because you mentioned Steve Heyer, who is, for those that may not know, former president of YNR as well as Turner Broadcasting. And this ties in, and I'll hold that for the end. But just to go through a few here, climb deep into your target's DNA, which we've talked a little bit about today. Aggressive growth demands aggressive thinking is number 2. Make your brand so delicious they keep coming back for more, which I really like that that particular one, Patrick. How does one go about making a brand delicious?
Oh, it goes back to the episodic mm-hmm. marketing I was talking about earlier. One of you were talking about your wife mm-hmm. who's assisting your team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you first started dating your wife, mm-hmm. if on the first date you got everything about her on the first date, you'd be pretty bored on the second date.
Right.
But if it turns out that you have this evolving, living, intriguing relationship that's always fresh, mm-hmm. you have a great relationship.
Well, you're describing my relationship
exactly.
perfectly.
I'm sure your wife is smiling.
And by the way, when you said, you know, if on your first date you got and then you paused, I'm glad you filled that in with what you did, because I was beginning to think that he actually had a camera on our first date.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by, got is I meant got lunch, because we went on lunch on our first date.
Yeah, you're digging yourself out.
But I think that's a very good point, though. And, you know, I saw an interview going back now again to my hero, Larry King, since we're talking about wives. You're married, Patrick?
Yep.
No. Well, when you are, you can take this piece of advice from Art Linkletter, who was celebrating his 90th birthday.
God bless.
Yeah, Larry asked him, I'm going to say, you know, 60-some-odd years of marriage, how do you do it, Art? And Art said, well, basically, and this guy's still sharp as a tack, he goes, basically, whatever my wife wants, I give her. And you know, I think there's something to be said for that being the basis of a happy marriage. Just whatever your wife wants, give her.
She wants another dog.
On this one, on Make Your Brand So Delicious, uh-huh. you know, my business partner, Robin Austin, is a zealot when it comes to this. Uh-huh. He says you need to make it so intriguing, you have to let them discover it, and you have to feed it out in pieces uh-huh. and let them discover it. So across an episodic plan, you'll do the smallest things and the biggest things that just keep your brand alive.
Uh-huh.
I think Apple with Mac is a great example. They come out with new product. They do intriguing inserts. They do some things with their consumers online and viral email. They just keep it fresh. They touch you.
That's a very good point. Number 5, by the way, is if they can't talk about it, don't do it. That's part of the episodic buzz I know we were talking about earlier. Touch them through their passions. That's, of course, connecting up with your consumer on a level that
passion points.
Exactly. And then number 7, do less with greater impact. 8, create a human relationship in everything you do. Number 9, rethink your total team for growth and impact. And number 10, which is what I want to talk about, what gets measured gets done. Now, back to the Steve Heyer element that I was referring to earlier. He was interviewed in a Viewpoint back in August of earlier this month. And the question was posed to him, you recently did a sponsorship deal with the NCAA and paid a lot of money, about $500,000 to be involved with a sponsorship, and was curious what level of return on investment you were looking for. And his reaction to that question was, if you're looking for a complete computable ROI, you can never buy any affiliation with any property ever on a straight payback basis. It doesn't work. Yet you say in your number 10 demandment here, Patrick, that what gets measured gets done. Does that conflict with what Steve Heyer is saying here?
I don't think so. I think what Steve knows is that in his company, the ability to take something like the NCAA and to rally the whole system, the bottler system and the trade, and ways to touch the consumer, obviously they can see the upside volume potential. But if you break it down, do it kind of a a consulting ROI analysis, there is probably some gray areas for interpretation for upside.
Right.
Our point here is, as you go into something, you got to have realistic objectives. And here's where most clients don't do it. They don't come back a quarter after they've done something or five quarters in a row and assess their marketing plan and say, okay, volume, share, profit, awareness, conversion, hit rates. You have to have the metrics laid out, and you have to force your team to come back and gauge how you've done. We're so busy, moving so quick, that everybody's looking at the next horizon that they aren't doing the spade work. I say that, but I'll also give you an interesting piece that has to go with it, though. It's one thing to do the metrics, but at the same time, and one of our clients, a CEO, said, I get what you're saying about connective DNA insights. You're saying you need to connect today and tomorrow. And the person said, 95% of our research measures the past, and we never use it, and it doesn't help us connect. So smart, periodic review of metrics to then go forward, but at the same time, spend your research dollars on connecting your plan going forward.
Patrick, we're just about to go into the immersion part of our show. New term. New feature.
The notorious questions.
The notorious questions that dig under the skin here and sometimes irritate our guests, but that's okay, isn't it? Sure it is. No, we're joking about
blush.
That. There we go. Hey, what do you think of the show so far? Are you having a good time?
I think the show's excellent.
Good.
I think you need to be in the New York metro area, though.
Oh, okay. Well, we're...
You plug that in with your syndicator.
Thank you. We will. And everyone you know, if you tell them to log on to theadvertisingshow.com and click on to radio program guest, if they see someone there that they want to listen to, then we stream live every weekend, noon to 2 Central Time, and we'd be happy to have you all aboard through the World Wide Web. And as Ray said, we are now to that part of the show that's, I know, my favorite part of the show. We call it the Advertising Show 3 Semi-Personal Questions. We have 5 ready for you, Patrick, but we only offer 3, so you have the option to pass on 2, and we'll start with the number 1 question, and that is, have you ever told your colleagues that you're going to Miami, Florida, to one of your office, to your office down there, only to screw off on one of the other islands?
Screw off on one of the other islands, meaning my South Beach, or
one of the Keys, or just basically screw off.
Well, I'll tell you that if you spend time with the Fusion 5 team, you'd understand that they like to have a lot of fun. It's in our DNA.
You get paid to screw off.
I'll tell you that we probably were down there doing work, but relationship building or just having fun.
Right.
I'm sure that there are people dancing on tables in South Beach clubs and bars.
Yeah, well, we call those table dances down here. The number 2 question was, and of course you've heard of the movie and the Broadway play, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Would you ever consider a barter deal with a whorehouse as a client?
Well, there are certain members of my team that would consider it.
Okay, but you would.
I can tell you that I'm blushing.
Okay. Okay, well, this is the third question. This is kind of a think piece here. What would your staff be surprised to learn about Patrick Meyer?
Wow. They might be surprised to learn that I breed ducks and puppies in my spare time, and right now I've got 7 3-week-old puppies in my bathtub.
My wife right now is going, oh, because she does volunteer work at the animal shelter, and we're limited to 3 in the city of Houston, and we just got our last and third puppy just a few weeks ago. Ray also is a dog lover. And
if you need one, I've got 10 right now.
You do?
Oh, really?
Well, hold on. I'm gonna whistle. Hold the phone.
I feel like we're doing tradio here. Okay, Patrick in New York has 3 dogs. And Patrick, want to give that number again one more time so they can call you?
1-800-PATRICK-LOVES-DOGS.
Yeah,
Well, listen, Patrick, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us. I assume if anyone would like to learn more about your company or maybe get their own copy of your 10 growth demandments, brand growth demandments, they can log on to Fusion5.com and find a way to email you or someone on your staff. And I got to tell you, from my perspective, and I know Ray as well because we were talking off air, it's been very enlightening hearing what you have to say, and I think for our listeners, they've learned that there's companies out there that do things differently, and what's different today, in a perfect world, 10 years from now, becomes status quo for everyone else, should we ever hope so.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. I'll tell you one thing, you can tell that we're pretty passionate. We like to break the rules. We're not for your cautious, faint of heart marketer, but if you're really ready to step out and drive your business, that's us. I love your show. I think you've really got something great going on.
Well, thank you. Coming from you, that means a lot, and we appreciate it, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick. Patrick Meyer, president of Fusion 5 out of Westport, Connecticut. You can find out more about Fusion 5 by going on the line at Fusion5, that's number 5.com. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. We'll be back in just a minute on Business Radio 650.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
Hey, this is the double your income formula. Well, sort of. So, you want to double your income? Show me the money, you scream. No, no, no. Show me you're willing to work hard to get better. Show me the money, you scream. You don't get it. Most salespeople, well, not you, of course, are not willing to do the hard work that it takes to make selling easy. Plus, most salespeople already know everything. They already think they know the answers because they've tried that before and it didn't work. You know, business lore says that Edison tried and failed more than 1,000 times before inventing the light bulb that worked. Many salespeople quit after the third failure. Most, however, quit after the first one or two failures. Suppose Edison decided to quit after failure number 753. No way, baby. He was on a mission of success. What mission are you on? Most salespeople are on the quota or sales plan mission. Make a certain number of sales, or making certain that a number of sales are achieved by some period of time, usually a month or a year. I wish there was one plan that said create 100 solid relationships this year, or earn 100 unsolicited referrals this year, or keep 100% of your existing customers loyal this year.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, G-I-T-O-M-E-R.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
You're listening to The Advertising Show on Business Radio 650.
Colgate toothpaste, the tooth toughener. How can that be? Well, it contains advanced MFP fluoride. It's the only toothpaste that does, and it does toughen tooth enamel.
Back with you on The Advertising Show, the classic spot from Arthur Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what a great spokesperson he is and was.
The only guy that Paul Harvey looks up to. I always like to say that because Paul Harvey's like, you know, the best game in town for the live spots.
He's a very tall man.
He, you know, what's interesting is that if you've ever listened to Paul, you're like 30 seconds into a live spot and you don't know it.
Right.
He's good at that.
Oh, yeah, he's the greatest. NBC may have given up on the National Basketball Association, but its sister network, Telemundo Communications Group, Incorporated, inked a pact with the league to air NBA and the WNBA games in Spanish. Isn't that a cool idea? Uh-huh. The three-season pact also includes a weekly highlight show beginning with the upcoming season. Telemundo will air 15 NBA games and 10 of the WNBA games.
We're going to have to Mark Macepool, locally, who's also a regional VP with HBC, we're going to have to talk to him about how the merger or acquisition, I guess, I think it's Univision, announced a while back that they're acquiring HBC, and it should be interesting to see how that's going.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Speaking of television stations and stuff, it's time to say this segment of The Advertising Show is being brought to you by our friends also at WB39 Television, another nice, great sponsor
Warner
of The
Brothers.
Advertising Show.
The fine folks at Tribune Broadcasting, but of course their network would be WB, as in Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, by the way, Fox Real Networks in combination will be kicking off live sports coverage. Now, believe it or not, FoxSports.com is teaming up with Real Networks to video broadcast live college football games over the Internet, which I think is just a tremendously great idea.
Yeah.
The companies will webcast live video from matchups between colleges in the Big 12 division beginning August 31st. Laura's in there making note.
Mm-hmm.
With either Texas A&M against the University of Louisiana Lafayette, our associate producer, Ms. Sarah Telly. I joke with that. Her name's Stephanie Sarah Telly. She's a Aggie, so she'll be logging on, I'm sure, for that.
Sure.
And then the deal will only be available, though, through subscribers of Real Networks Real One Super Pass, which is a service that costs $9.95 a month for programming. And the idea, excuse me, Ray, the idea here is very simple, and that is they're wanting to offer live games to people who reside outside of the local markets while also avoiding any conflicts with broadcast networks that have paid hefty fees, of course, for the exclusive rights to broadcast such games. So it's kind of like what we do on the web, just kind of extending your channel.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good idea, too. It's a great way to broadcast to more folks without restrictions. ESPN pulled a television ad for its College Games Day pregame football show. It depicted fans of the University of Tennessee in a stereotypical Southern fashion. Now, what the heck is that?
Oh, you don't know about the goat and the donkey?
Yeah, right. The spot, one of a series that highlights College Game Day, showed analyst Lee Corso about to step onto a hotel elevator filled with Tennessee fans. It included a woman holding a pig, another woman still clad in a robe and a shower cap, and a young couple making out.
They must have been playing
Arkansas.
They
were part of the Sam Adams promotion.
They were playing Arkansas. They had the pig.
That's
the Razorback.
Right. That's right. And we talked before about the fiasco that this Opie and Anthony, these guys who probably thought they were pretty funny at the time.
WNEWFM New York.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be. But now, as we said before, it's the gentleman with Sam Adams is apologizing in print, and he also called a whole bunch of bars saying, I'm sorry.
It'll be interesting, and I know we'll hear about it, where old Opie and Andy. No, it's not Andy. It's
Opie and whatever the heck the other guy's name is.
Hey,
Barney.
I couldn't believe Ray told me, Laura Veal in the other room, Ray told me the other day he got pulled over for speeding, and his opening line to the cop was, are you Andy or are you Barney? And you know, from right there, it went downhill.
Went to jail, yeah.
Yeah.
Popeye's coming back. It's not going to be... What do we think of Popeye for? Spinach, right?
Or fried chicken.
Well, I don't ever think of Popeye for fried chicken, though.
Popeye's.
I know. I just don't think of that.
You don't.
Anyway, he's going to be the brand guy for Popeye white bread as well as Wimpy hamburger rolls and sweet pea wheat bread and olive oil hot dog rolls that'll be coming to a supermarket near you. So he's no longer... These breads do not have spinach of any kind.
With the baseball... Major League Baseball problems coming to an end, labor issues, and apparently they've solved those problems. I had no idea. I guess I'm naive. I had no idea that there's an issue with steroids in Major League Baseball. Frankly, I don't know about you. But, I really thought all the drugs and major sports, professional sports, had been cleaned up. But my feeling is you take a guy like Bagwell, who is, upper body strength. I'm not suggesting that he's taking steroids. I'm just saying it certainly is not his stance why he's able to swing that ball. If you've ever seen his stance, it's a very unusual stance. But for me, for my dollar, for my baseball dollar, I want a fat guy like Babe Ruth swinging at the fence. And then you ever watch those old movies of him?
Oh, yeah.
A little old lady had a longer stride than him. Or was that the film?
I think it's part of the film, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
But, he drank in the... He drank in the, what's that called, where they're sitting in the club? Is it the clubhouse? Well, anyway.
Could be.
He drank before he went out to play. And, it's pretty well known that Babe was a babe.
They didn't have steroids back then.
No, they had Budweiser.
Plain old booze.
Yeah.
Hey, this is kind of cool. General Motors has hooked on to and signed on to be a title sponsor of a contemporary Christian music tour taking place this fall. Chevrolet will have on-site vehicle displays and the Come Together and Worship Tour, which will feature performers like Michael W. Smith and a whole bunch of other great people like Max Lucado and Third Day. And a spokesperson said GM Southeast Region executives were impressed with the results after sponsoring a concert in June. More than 5,000 of the show's 12,000 attendees registered for more Chevrolet product information, which is kind of cool.
Good for them to support special events in that category.
Coming up on the advertising show next week, it's Ellis Booker, editor of B2B Magazine, so we'll learn about the how the B2B thing works. Yeah. And we also have Mary Wells Lawrence, a founder of Wells Rich Green and author of The Big Life in Advertising. And that's going to be on Saturday, September the 21st. For the Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Zoito, the future of fulfillment, and by, the Houston Business Journal. Strictly Houston, strictly business.
So we're going to go for the heart attack there for a second.
There we go.
See you next week, Ray.
I'll be here. Same place. Online, of course, we stream it live every week at theadvertisingshow.com and here in Houston on Business Radio 650. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.